Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. I just want to share a few minutes and do what I can to be of some benefit to someone here. I've been praying and just asking God to help me to share something that might help someone tonight. Sometimes the Bible tells us that the Lord will leave the 99 sheep to find any one sheep that's lost. So I would really appreciate the prayers of the saints so that I might be able to speak God's word. But before I do that, I do want to explain our set to you. I was asked to point out the fact that initially we were torn between two themes. The large majority wanted the idea of Christmas in our living room or Christmas at home. And then there was a very small demographic that wanted the theme Christmas aboard the Starship Enterprise. And so we decided to compromise. And there you have our, you know, what are you, I'm only joking. Nobody asked me to say that. But it's a beautiful, beautiful set. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A lot of work went into it. It's well done. Every now and again, you'll talk to somebody, and when you talk to them about the Lord, they'll say something to the effect of, if God would just give me a sign, then I would believe. In fact, one of the two major arguments of the so-called new atheists is the what they might say the lack of God's projecting himself. In other words, God hasn't given them enough of a sign. And you'll hear that over and over. When we go back 2,000 years and we see how Jesus came into the earth, the Bible says that there were shepherds who were basically doing what they did for a living and living out their lives the way they ordinarily lived out their lives. And angels came to them and began to proclaim the coming of the king, one who would give them liberty and victory, one who would free them from oppression and bondage, not just political, but also spiritual, that would give them the life that they had been hoping for many, many years. And when these angels came, they themselves were not the sign. They said that the Lord would give them a sign. And at the time that they said the Lord would give them a sign, the Bible says that the heavens opened. In other words, that dimension of reality that's usually invisible to us became visible. And the shepherds saw a host of angels. That suggests thousands upon thousands of angels, probably all over the hillside, as we see in another portion of the Holy Scriptures. And that was not the sign. And that's pretty ironic when you consider it, because there are other times when, for instance, one time an angel went to a man and began to proclaim the coming of the king, and the man asked for a sign, and the angel basically said, I am the sign. He said, I am Gabriel that's speaking to you, and you should believe based on that alone. I stand in the presence of God. But in this case, the angels were not the sign. The open heaven was not the sign. The great miracle was not the sign. The exposure to the ordinarily invisible and intangible was not the sign. And here's what the angel said. This will be a sign to you. You will see a child wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, right? A place where the animals would feed. This would be your sign. The sign of the vulnerability of God. That is to say, a sign that says God has exposed himself to the caprice and the whimsy and the tendencies of humankind. God has made his heart, his personality, his love, his concern, his pity, his mercy vulnerable to the treatment of human persons, vulnerable to your response and to my response. All the glories of heaven cannot compare to that sign. All the great and powerful angels cannot compare to the sign of God making himself, his heart, his personhood vulnerable to our decisions. He placed himself in the hands of human persons and said, I am going to allow you to treat me any way you choose. If you choose to embrace me, I will be there for you. And if you choose to hang me upon a cross, I will be there for you. It is a picture of God saying to us, I understand where you are. I understand what you are going through. And I want you to know that I am standing with you. It's not just a picture then of vulnerability, but a picture of identification. Now, they could have said, when the angel said, good news, peace on earth, they could have said, good news, we are oppressed by the Romans. We are being overtaxed. We have been ripped from our homes and forced to migrate so that we could simply be counted as though we were property. You are saying that I should rejoice now. You're saying that I should expect great things. You're expecting that I should believe that there is a reason to rejoice. They could have said that, and they might have been justified in saying it, except for the sign. They could have heard the heavenly angels rejoicing, and they could have said, yeah, it's easy for you to rejoice because you live there, but I live here. They could have seen the glory of heaven, and they could have said, yeah, it's easy for you, but not for me, because this is where I am. So they could have gone from saying, show me a sign, to looking at the glory of heaven as a sign and saying, yeah, that's fine for you, but not for me. But the Lord said, no, I have a better sign for you. A babe who chooses to identify with you. A babe who chooses to suffer with you. A babe who chooses to understand the pain of your situation. You will find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, not lying in a mansion, but lying in a manger. Not in peace and in comfort, but in cold and ostracized from a community. No room for him in the inn, no place for him to lay his head. You will find someone who knows what it is to hurt. From the earliest stages, later to be called a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, you will find somebody who knows what it is to go through life's difficulties. This will be a sign to you that God has chosen to feel your pain. Not just to heal your pain, you understand. He can do that from heaven. But to feel your pain, he had to come to you. He had to come and stand beside you. The Bible says that he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That he took our infirmities, our sicknesses, our pain, our hurt upon himself and fully identified with it. You want to see what identification looks like. You want to see what vulnerability looks like. See this man with his arms outstretched 30 some odd years later. See this man ridiculed, mocked, spit upon, made, as it were, a byword in the community. Lies nailed above his head saying that he was trying to usurp power for himself. But he wasn't. He was actually laying down his power, laying down his strength so that he could identify with us. Pure vulnerability. There was a man on one side of him that had been cursing him up until that point, hanging alongside of him, cursing him, saying, if you are who you say you are, then, as it were, give me a sign. Come down from the cross, the exact opposite sign that God wanted to give. Give me a sign by showing your power, by disassociating yourself from pain and grief and hardship. But that's the exact opposite of what the Lord wanted to do. Give me a sign, and then we tell him how he ought to do it. It's almost as though we're saying, if you're God, let me tell you how to do things, and then I'll believe in you. If you're God, let me be God, and then I'll worship you as God. It doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? But Jesus stood on the cross. Stood on the cross. And I think after a while, that man who at one point was saying, show me a sign, realized what the sign was. This man could come down from the cross if he wanted to. But he won't. And then he had to ask himself, why won't he come down? Probably it dawned on him. Because he chooses to suffer with me. And he chooses to suffer for me. And that man, after having mocked the Lord and after having said, you're not who you say you are because you're not doing what I say you should do. You're not being God the way I would dictate to you if you allowed me to be your God, that kind of a thing. And his heart just broke at one point. And he said, you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I deserve to be here. Yeah, he might have said, yeah, I grew up in oppression. I grew up in difficult times. I know what it is to be, as it were, abused. And I know what it is to have things taken from me that, you know, I mean, he could say, I know what it is to be overtaxed. And I know what it is to be cast out of my community. And I know what it is to be told that what I believe and what I hope for, and none of those things. I know what that feels like. But I also know that I've made some choices too. And maybe I made some of those choices out of pain, but I made those choices. And maybe I've been hurt, but I've also hurt a person or two, and I have to be honest with myself. And that's where the man was. He said, you know, we justly deserve what's going on, but this man has never hurt me. This man has done nothing wrong. All he's done since he's been here, those 33 years or so that he was on the earth, all he's done was take on other people's pain, take on other people's hurt, weep with those who thought they were weeping alone. Just like now in the spirit, just like those times when you felt like you were crying all by yourself in the darkness of your room and nobody heard you. Not only did he hear you, he wept alongside of you. And every tear you cried, I guarantee you, he cried at least two. Every single pain you felt, I guarantee you, he felt it on that cross, and even now he feels it in his heart. The risen Savior loves you. And the man said, I did some things, and I deserve some pain, but this man, he's not done anything wrong. And then he calls him Lord. The same man that used to say, you're not showing me enough signs, realized, oh no, this is the sign. That he chooses to feel my pain. He chooses to hurt with me. He chooses to stand with me when nobody else will. He chooses to be there for me when nobody else will. He chooses to stay here on the cross. He said it himself. Jesus said it himself. I can call down a legion of angels if you want. That could be the sign. Just like back in the old days when the heavens opened up, that could have been the sign, but that wasn't the sign. In those days, it was a babe wrapped in swaddling clothing in a cold, dingy, dark manger. Now, It's a man hanging on the cross 33 years after the fact. I could show you a sign, but this is the one that I choose to show. He said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You don't say that to a person who's dying unless you know they have power over death. You don't say to a person who's dying, remember me when you begin to manifest your sovereign power. Remember me, he said. Think about me. Care for me. Love me. Be merciful to me. Because sometimes in this society, we feel like there's nobody there for us. But Jesus is there for you. And you can say to him this afternoon, remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus didn't say, well, I'll tell you what, you go and get it right first. You see, you don't tell a person who's hanging on the cross, go and get it right. You don't tell somebody who's under a death sentence, go and get it right. And Jesus doesn't say to any person who's lost in their sin, go and get it right. Because he knows we can't get anything right. He didn't say, tomorrow you will be with me in paradise after you get it right. He said, this day. That's the thing I love about the Lord. He doesn't wait. Today is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to his holy name. And if you choose to trust him, I'm talking to that one person, that one heart. If you choose to recognize the fact that he hasn't left you, he hasn't stopped searching you out, he hasn't stopped following you. I walked through the streets of this city for 3.5 years, didn't have a place to live, didn't have, in my own mind at least, a friend in the world. And the Lord never stopped pursuing me. I ran and ran and ran. He never stopped pursuing me. I woke up sometimes on trains, sometimes in the park. Never woke up once in all that time without the sense of God hovering over me saying, I will not let you go. I will not forget you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Finally, he brought me to this church. I came for a few times, and I watched, and I listened, and I heard, and I began to pray, and I began to say, God, show me something, show me someone. And God just showed me love and kindness and friendship and fellowship, person after person after person after person. And I was received into this community, brought into this wonderful church from a place where I thought that there was no hope. And I just realized something. God was showing me a sign. And the sign was simply men and women, right? No superstars, no angels, just men and women who were walking this life out and who were living this life and who chose to identify with the needy, chose to identify with the hungry, chose to identify with the people who were in pain. And that was a sign to me. It was a sign that God was still on the move, that God was still doing something in this generation. It was something that I never, ever forgot. And I want to ask you a question. Are you looking for a sign? Are you looking for God to make the fact that he loves you clear? I'm going to refer you to that babe in a manger. I'm going to refer you to that man on the cross. And I'm going to refer you to the body of Jesus Christ that came as a result of the fact that that man rose from the dead. And he now is in our midst by his spirit. It's something God is doing in your heart tonight, this afternoon. Something God is doing in you is very, very simple. One of two things is happening. talking to those people who are sensing God's presence. You're either not a Christian and God is speaking to you to come to him. He's saying to you, I've come to you, now you come to me. I will draw you. I'm not expecting you to do anything in your own strength. But you cannot dictate to God how he ought to reveal himself to you. You got to leave that up to him. Because if you could dictate to God, then that would make you God. And I don't know about you, but that's a pretty serious job description. And I don't think that any of us are qualified for that. So let's let him reveal himself how he chooses. And then the second is that person who is running from the Lord for whatever reason. You might have known him at one point, but now you're running. Maybe trying to do a few things in your own strength. Like the one man that was on the other side of Jesus on the cross. It doesn't work. You know it and I know it. So now I'm simply going to ask you, as we heard, come home for Christmas. Come home. Jesus loves you. He hasn't forgotten you. He has not given up on you, and he wants to help you. Let's stand together in the house of the Lord Jesus Christ. In congregation, would you pray that somebody hears the heart of the Lord tonight, the heart for them, God's heart for them, God's love for them, and that they come home for Christmas. Let that be not only the theme of our gathering, but let that be your theme. Let it be so that you can look back on this day and say, that was the day that I came home. If you don't know the Lord and you want to know him, you want to love him, you want to bless him, you want to be able to sing the songs that we heard tonight from the depths of your soul, then I invite you to come. And also, if you've been running like I was and you're just tired. The Lord said to Paul, it's hard to kick against the goats. You're tired of running. And it's time to come home, and you know it. You know it. Your heart says it. Your heart says it. Then it's time to come on home. We're going to open the front of this church for prayer. If God is speaking to you, you can begin to come now. There are some that are beginning to come. You can begin to come now to the front of this auditorium. We will pray together. Let this be the first day of the rest of your life. Today is the day of salvation. This day you will be with me in paradise. Brothers and sisters, don't hesitate. Don't wait. Let the Lord speak to you this afternoon and be saved. The Lord Jesus bless you as you come. What a privilege. What a privilege. What a privilege. God will stop heaven and earth just for you. Just for you. You mean more to him than you could ever possibly imagine. It is my privilege, my joy to invite you into the body of Christ. What a joy it is. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. I just want to pray for you, Father, in Jesus' name. But you see, our new family members, your people, Lord, you spoke to their hearts and made them to understand how much you love them. Lord, what a joy it is. What a joy, what a privilege. Oh God, to be a part of this wonderful thing that you do. Lord, we ask that your name be over these lives. Protect these lives. Lord, they've acknowledged that they can't help themselves. They've acknowledged that they've made some bad decisions, but they also acknowledge your great love, your great mercy. And as surely as you identified with them through your cross, now they identify with your cross and say, yes, this is the mercy of God. And they open themselves up to the risen Savior. Death couldn't hold you, and it sure can't hold them because they put their trust in you. Now, Lord, I thank you for my family, for my brothers and for my sisters. Lord, thank you what you've done in their lives and what you're going to continue to do. Hallelujah. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Please be reminded, we have ushers that are available. And if you want to pray downstairs, they'll pray with you. They'll talk to you. And they'll give you a Bible. Amen. And then they'll talk to you a little bit about our New Believers classes. Okay? Amen. God bless you so much. The Lord Jesus bless you. Please be reminded, we have one more service like this one at 6 o'clock tonight. So invite a friend. God bless you so much. We'll see you then.